clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Rainbows high and deep into the end zone, and it is caught. Caught for a touchdown. A leaping touchdown catch.
Here he goes. He'll be chased, and he is gone. 97 yards. Oh, what a way to start.
Does he get both feet in right here at the end, Jim?
What are they going to roll it? He caught it? Touchdown! He did what?
He runs to the 50. He runs to the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
We are seeing another spectacular effort by Marino, who fires. Touchdown!
Oh, that's loose.
Allen steps up.
Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first.
Says a prayer.
Stop it!
Oh, please!
What a catch!
That's insane!
The game's final play is a Wilson lock to the end zone, which is fought for by Tate with Jennings simultaneous. Who has it? Who do they give it to?
Welcome into Simultaneous Catch, folks. I am Adam Jeffrey Rossi.
Whoa. I'm Josh Lapping.
Season 6 of Simultaneous Catch.
Still feel like we've already been there, but I don't know how.
Yeah,
you
we
do
are
this
there.
Anymore.
I said we were there, and you argued that we weren't there last time.
Okay.
Well, folks, it's here. Everybody's been asking for it. We're doing quarterback rankings today on the show. Couple of things to get into before we get into the rankings. One, it is a 1 to 32, so we are going to go from quarterback 32 all the way to quarterback 1, but we did break it up into 8 different tiers. Now, I made up the tier
These
names.
These tiers are awesome.
Thank you. Josh seemed to be agreeable to them, so we're going from there, okay? Should we reveal the categories as we go, or should I say them now?
I think you lay it out now.
Okay.
Let the audience make their own list with us.
Starting at tier number 8, we're going to go with Jury's Out.
Jury's Out.
Yeah. So we're starting. Jury's Out is the first tier. So this is a group of quarterbacks where we don't know, right? There are a lot of question marks. There's going to probably be some rookies for both of us in here because they haven't played yet. And then maybe some other players who we just don't know enough yet to put them any higher. number 7, I put as starter. Yeah. So these are guys that can start, right? These guys are who can step up and start for you, right? Will you do the
Which is funny because they're all starters.
Sure, of course. But I'm saying this one is like you can go into a week and be like, we can feel confident. Okay, I know this guy's won before. We can win with this player. Number 6, we have the dark horse category.
Dark horse.
Yeah. So these are quarterbacks who are good, probably have question marks, but that we believe, even though they sit a little bit lower on the tier, that we believe have definite potential to make a larger leap than most quarterbacks on the list. Number 5, we've got inconsistently good.
Inconsistently good.
Yeah, so these are guys who have been good, have been great at times, but are not consistent or have dropped off and we don't know. Number 4, we've got star capability. Star capability tier is these are quarterbacks who we know are capable of being a star. We know this quarterback can lead you to victory, be the reason that you win, right? But maybe they're not that all the time. Maybe they are not quite superstar, but they're just capable of being a star, but not a step further. And leading to number tier 3 is star.
Star.
Yeah. The star category is that. These are star quarterbacks, right? Well, the quarterbacks that I have in this category, I believe, are star quarterbacks. I don't believe that they're elite to any extent. I don't believe that they are just star capable. I believe that they are star quarterbacks, right? So there's room for them to improve, of course, but they are some of the best of the best. In my list, this is where the top 10 starts, is in this category. Tier 2 is elite minus.
Elite minus.
And then tier 1 is elite.
Elite.
So it's easier to have both of those. So we have the elite quarterbacks in the league, the best of the best. And then I have elite minus as these are what I believe to be elite quarterbacks, but there are still some questions about them, at least that I have.
All right. So all right. A couple questions coming for you real quick. Yeah, yeah. So what if I was a listener listening to the show and I were to ask you what's more important, the category or the ranking, what is
it? So when I was making the list, the ranking was more important because I did that first and then I named my groupings based off of who was in I named my tiers based off of who was in the number. So I got to a point and I was like, this feels like a tier break here. I'm going to hit a space and start putting more names. This feels like a tier break here. I'm going to hit a space and go some more names. Now, based off of our prior conversations, it feels like you were a little bit leaning more towards the tier versus the number, which might be fun
for the show. I feel pretty I feel good about the way I've ordered them. But we'll talk about it as we get into it, I guess.
All right, well, let's just get into it, man. This is people are here for quarterback rankings. That's all we're going
to
do on the episode.
Let's give it to them. So who do we think is the worst quarterback starting in the NFL right now?
You frame it that way, and now it's going to be so bad what I say next. So why don't you start then?
I swear to God, I know you're not.
It's not. Yeah, I don't have this guy, but you do.
Better go ahead. Not be. Who do you think it is? Now intrigued. It's not who I think you think I'm going to say.
This is great for podcasts.
Yeah, I'm saying number 32 for me is Atlanta Falcons quarterback.
Okay. I didn't think you were going to say that. I did not think you were going to say that.
Yeah, and I think all things put together, number 32, I am not a Desmond Ritter believer.
Okay.
I will be so happy to be proven wrong. Coming out of Cincinnati.
No, you weren't into the draft either. This is not
coming
new.
Out of Cincinnati. This is not new. I did not like him. I know he only had a small sample as a starter, but coming over and taking over Marcus Mariota, it's not like Desmond Ritter was like, oh, he's performing, so he's earned it. It was just that Atlanta was kind of starting. I mean, Atlanta had a chance to win the division.
They did. And all of them did. They all finished 7-10 except for the
Marcus was starting to sputter. So they're like, we see what we have with this guy. We need to put Desmond Ritter in to see if he can provide that spark to get to the playoff and also just to see what we spent that third round pick on.
You know, it's hard watching Netflix's quarterback because you follow Marcus's journey. He got a bad rap, man. I know that he made mistakes and I know that he was inconsistent, but I don't know if you remember how many heartbreaking losses they had last year.
I don't.
Because there are some that were terrible.
I still have only watched the first episode.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It was very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, but back on into Ritter, I know, like I said, he's only played 4 games, but did not wow me in those 4 games. He threw for under 7 yards a completion in every game except for his last one, which maybe should be a sign for hope that it can get better. But he only threw 2 touchdowns in that time. He did take sacks very consistently. Now, I know that's not just a quarterback stat. That's an O-line. That's a whole offensive line stat, or offense, I should say. But just did not wow me. And, you know, I think coming out of Cincinnati, he didn't run a whole lot, but he wasn't Marcus Mariota, right? Actually, although he was kind of compared to Marcus Mariota.
I was going to say, there are some analysts who that was his comp.
But he didn't run. I mean, the most he ran in a game was his first game, which was 38 yards, but he ran 6 times. So that's 6 a pop, which is pretty good. But the rest of the time, it was like 2.5 yards a carry. So you're not like, wow, I'm doing all these cool things with my legs, where like even if you're not putting up great passing numbers, Justin Fields is a great example. At least you were being electric. And I just did not see that out of Desmond Ritter. And that's why right now I'm the least confident in him out of the 32 quarterbacks.
I'm surprised. Yeah, like you said, 2 touchdowns, no picks, 708 yards in the 4 starts. I will say this. I have gotten way more excited to see Desmond Ritter because I also have not been. And then I went back and watched it because as the pseudo Falcons fan of the podcast, I'm very excited for the Falcons next year. We could see some rare 23 personnel from them heading into the season next year, or 32, 3 backs, 2 tight ends. That'd be a lot of fun. Benjamin Solak, who's a writer for The Ringer, he was on the Ben Simmons podcast, and he was talking about Desmond Ritter, and he was saying that he's a believer in him because he believes, after watching the tape, that it's all there mentally. It was just way too slow to process last year. And he thinks that with a full offseason in Arthur Smith's system, a couple more weapons added, that if he can just speed up the process more, he knows what he's supposed to be doing and that it could be better.
So just a question real fast. Yeah. Did you mean to say it's all there physically?
No, I mean, I don't
because
know.
Because I mean, if you're saying it's there mentally, but it's taking too long to process, then I feel like it's not there mentally.
No, well, so I think there's a difference between like, I think that problem solving is twofold, right? You want people who can problem solve, period. I feel like if you put a problem in front of me and you give me enough time, I can solve it. But there are people who can solve it, but solve it twice as fast as I can, right?
Okay.
They're two different things. And I think that his point is that, well, of course, physically, I think Desmond Ridder can do almost anything that you would need on a football field. He's not like got a Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert type arm, but it's good enough, right?
Okay.
But I think that his point is that he understands what it takes to be a pro. He's just got to get faster at it. The game's got to slow down, if you will, right?
Okay.
To use a platitude. So we'll see. He's not at 32 for me.
Let's
but
see.
That's
32
fine.
For you.
32 for me is a rookie, and it's CJ Stroud. And it's just because he's the rookie that I believe the least in heading into this year.
Interesting.
And that's not to say I hate CJ Stroud or I'm like betting on him to fail. It's just I like the other two better, so I have him at 32. I'm excited to see him play. I think that Houston's probably not going to be very good, but I think that they have some fun pieces. They could be fun to watch at times, certainly. I think anytime you have a high rookie pick, they're fun to watch just to see what they develop into.
Sure.
But that's why I have him at 32.
Okay, that's fair. I get it.
Leading into 31 for me, though, because this is where I thought you had and where you were like, this is what it should be for you. 31 is Baker Mayfield for me.
I also have Baker.
Yeah,
31.
There we go.
I am shocked. I can't believe it. I thought you were going to have Baker so much higher.
Literally, I was. And then so what I did was I made it, and then I went through and I was like, are you better than him? Okay, move you up. Are you better than him? Okay, move you up. And then I went from the top down and went to the same thing. He just ended up here for me. 2,163 yards, 10 touchdowns, 8 picks. I am not 100% out on Baker. I'm not. I'm holding on by a thread, though, because I did go back and I've watched a lot of extra tape on all these guys. When I was making this list, I wanted to be like, okay, remind myself, because I also watched some highlights and I was like, I don't remember that happening. You forget how many plays happen in a football season, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot. So I went back and watched it, and I still believe there's stuff there for Baker to make a really good starting quarterback. It's just his last shot, and I don't know how good of a shot it's going to be with now. The argument could be made that the reason that Tom struggled at times last year was age, but also like their offensive line was super banged up. It's going to be healthier heading into this season. Let's see, right? He's certainly got weapons on offense, and they have pieces on defense as well. So I think that it's not the best chance for him, but it's better than most quarterbacks get. So this is his last shot, and I have him at 31 because I can't call him the worst quarterback in the NFL, but I also can't. I don't like putting him higher than a lot of the other guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot to tack on to that because we have him in the same spot, which I'm really proud of you right now, honestly. After we like had one of our more intense debates last year about Baker Mayfield, but yeah, I mean, you said those stats, and I get that, you know. It's been a tumultuous ride for Baker Mayfield. I mean, being Cleveland starter and being the first overall pick and then being ousted after the Deshaun Watson and everything. But it's not like he ended up in Carolina and wasn't prepared. It's not like you had a week. I mean, like, he was there. He was the offseason guy. Like, he had time. I know he was traded. It wasn't like it was super quick, but it wasn't, oh, you just got here preseason week 4, like,
and
you're going in.
And then he started with a full host of weapons, right? He had DJ Moore. He had Christian McCaffrey. He hadn't been traded yet, right? They have this really young, awesome defense. He had almost all the keys you would need to win, and he just couldn't do it.
I understand that when he got to LA, he had the magical win over Vegas. For some reason, this may be silly. To me, it feels really important after he got there, and he did those magical things. I know it wasn't a great run in LA, but that they just let him walk. I was like,
that's a good point. But I also think that, and I saw a report today or yesterday where McVay spoke and said that they all agreed that they were at least going to run it back with Stafford one more year. So I feel like it may also be possible that Baker was like, I'm losing time here. I need to prove that I can be a starter. I have to go somewhere where I can start the next year, and so maybe he chose to do that. But
I get that. It's a fair point you're making. I feel like if LA could have seen, even if they wanted Stafford, they'd say, hey, like, let's step back, like, let's refocus, like, on these things that made you really, really good at one point and get you cleaned up to do that. You're going to be our guy. And they just were like, okay, you can go.
That's a good point. I don't know if I have much more to argue with that. But yeah, it's Baker's last chance. He might be able to be a career backup after this. Who's to say if that's what he really wants? Oh, I don't
think he's going
to
be out of the league.
But even if he doesn't, he's got an incredible career in broadcasting as soon as he's done because he's got the personality for it. So, all right, let's head to number 30. Who you got? I guess we're alternating now.
Number 30, I have my first rookie here, and it's not C.J. Stroud. It is Indianapolis Anthony Richardson. I have Richardson here as a rookie because I get that we all fell in love with him during the combine and his athleticism, what he can absolutely be. And I hope that he becomes the Lamar Newton, or was it Cam Jackson? I can't remember.
I think they called him Cam Jackson, yeah.
But it's hard to say. At Florida, he was not great, right? I mean, like, he has all these tools, and that's wonderful, and that's great, and that he's an athlete, and that's so exciting and can be exciting. But he wasn't lighting stuff up at Florida in college. So, I mean, like, it struggled, and I can see some stuff sputtering and being a little bit ugly and maybe relying on that raw athleticism a little bit. And I hope that develops. I hope it becomes refined. And I hope it becomes really fun. But right now, in terms of where he's at, I have to put him at 30.
That's a good point. I'll have something to say about Richardson pretty soon here. I don't have him at 30, but I'll save my opinions for Richardson in a second because I have Sam Howell here at 30. I think he only started one game at the end of the year.
Yeah, it was week 17.
169 passing yards, a touchdown and a pick. I think he also had a rushing touchdown.
He did.
He definitely showed why before his final college season, he was touted as going to be one of the first round quarterbacks. And he stumbled a little bit, right? And so he fell to the fifth round. Now, there are a lot of people talking about they're stunned that he fell that far, even though he had a tough season. Everything, and I mean everything, is in place for Sam Howell. If Sam Howell is a great quarterback, we will know by the end of this year because they have one of the best defenses in the NFL. That's only going to get better because Chase Young will finally play.
Maybe.
How many times last year did I say Chase Young's hopefully coming back, or Chase Young, I heard he's practicing again, and he never. So they have one of the best defenses in the NFL. It should get better and healthier. And they have one of the best trios of wide receivers in the NFL with Jahan Dotson and Terry McLaurin and Curtis Samuel. And then they have got two good running backs in Antonio Gibson and Brian Robinson. So they have a pretty good offensive line as well. So they have everything in place for Sam Howell to know. And to top that all off, whatever you want to say about Ron Rivera, say about Ron Rivera, but they're bringing in Eric Bieniemy to be the offensive coordinator. And obviously it's a lateral move for him. I think he wanted to prove that it wasn't just Mahomes, that he could get his job, and kudos to you. I still think it's ridiculous that nobody gave you a job, but regardless, this is your time to show it, and I think that this combination could end up catapulting Sam Howell much higher on this list, but this is as good as a chance as you can really get in the NFL.
I agree. I'll just chime in because I have Howell at 29. So
I have Richardson at 29, so you can talk, perfect. And then I'll go back to Richardson.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, coming out of NC, you know, he was touted as being, he's going to be one of those top guys. And it wasn't a perfect game against Dallas. And I know that Dallas kind of fell more on their face. And I think that Sam Howell absolutely lit it up. But he was serviceable. And it's not like he was a little bit over 50%, which, I mean, first time coming in against a good defense. Because, I mean, Dallas was good. And they could definitely get after a quarterback, especially a young one making his first start. I really liked how he's performed. I do like his running abilities that aren't going to be, he's not going to be Richardson, he's not going to be Lamar Jackson, but he does have some wheels that he can maneuver.
And they're
going to
do that RPO read option with him because he can do that.
I'm really excited about the possibility of Sam Howell.
Yeah, and I was just trying to check week one because I believe they have a divisional opponent week one. I don't think it's Dallas. I think Dallas plays the Giants week one. The Commanders host the Cardinals week one, so that'll be an opponent that they should beat if they're going to be a good team. So we'll see pretty early on. But I have Richardson at 29. I obviously am a huge Richardson fan. We've talked about it leading up to the draft. I talked about him being my favorite quarterback in the draft. Now, am I betting on him being the best? No, but he is my favorite quarterback in the draft. Everybody knows I tend to like those super athletic players who have just all the talent in the world that just need to put it together. I really like his place as well. Obviously, this offensive line is not what it was, but injuries also played a factor in that. Jonathan Taylor is starting training camp on the PUP list. Hopefully that means that he's just waiting till he's fully recovered from last year to come back. But with him in the backfield with Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce from last year, a guy I know you like a lot, and then they have some really good defensive pieces as well. I'm not betting on the Colts to win the division or make the playoffs, but they have pieces. They could be a team that turns around very quick if Richardson plays up to par. And really, he just needs to play and get time. I know that it's possible that Gardner Minshew could end up starting the season, right? Maybe just to get that Jacksonville revenge game to start off, because I think they play week one. But I think Richardson should play, and he should play early to sort of figure out what we got and let him develop. Because while he didn't light it up at Florida, it's also because he didn't play a lot at Florida. He wasn't the guy for a while, and then he was the guy. So 28, I have another rookie, Bryce Young. This is where I have Bryce Young. Like I said, I'm not betting on Anthony Richardson being the best. If I were betting, I would bet Bryce Young. I do really believe in Bryce Young a lot. We talked about it in draft coverage on our mock draft as well as our live. We did a dynasty startup with your, hold on guys, fiance. For the first time on the podcast. Where I went Josh Allen, Bryce Young is my first two picks. Actually, I think Bryce might have been my third pick, but I had the turn because I had the first pick. It's a super flex league. I really believe in Bryce Young, and I believe where he went with Frank Reich. So while 28 is still 28, it's only because I don't know what it's going to look like in the NFL yet. But sure, I do believe that Bryce Young is going to be great. So okay. I am at 28.
Yeah, I have CJ Stroud clocking in at 28. I was higher on him than I feel, although it's funny to say about the number two overall pick on him coming out of Ohio State than a lot of people. But I mean, he threw over 40 touchdowns both years that he played, only 6 interceptions each year. I know we talked about whether or not he either stepped up in the bigger moments, and I made the argument that he did, and that's what you want to see out of a young player, especially during that time. But yeah, I mean, average 10 yards a throw, so he's not just dunking it down. We'll see if that translates to the NFL or if he still pushes it down. They don't have the best situation in Houston, but they do have some,
and they have, I mean, John Mechie is supposed to come back, who was a second round pick from last year, a speedster, right?
Yeah,
so they could try to challenge downfield.
The thing about their weapons is they're not being talked about because we don't have high expectations, but we also don't know. I mean, you mentioned John Mechie or Menchie? I always get confused.
I think it's Mechie without an N.
But yeah, they have Nico Collins, who, when he was healthy, performed very well. They drafted a couple of young guys, Tank Dell and Xavier.
I really like Tank Dell.
Yeah?
Xavier Hutchinson is another one that I'm keeping an eye on, but I like Tank Dell.
They took him a little bit later. So, I mean, but they have a young core that we're not talking about because we just don't know, right? Like, it could be like, oh my God, like, that's really exciting. So I really like it. And I think that they've put a coaching staff in place that's going to be rah-rah and inspire this guy to play up to a certain level. So I'm excited. I have him clocking in, like I said, at that 28 mark.
28? Okay. At 20, are we still in the same tier?
Am still in juries out.
I have two more in juries out.
I have three.
Oh, okay. So my next one in juries out, number 27, is Desmond Ridder. So we've already talked about Desmond Ridder. Like I said, 708 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks last year. I'm willing to buy some stock in Ridder, just not a lot, right? Right now it's like a nickel penny stock or whatever. But I'm willing to buy a little stock in Desmond Ridder just to see what happens. I wanted them to take in the draft, I wanted them to get Richardson or get one of these quarterbacks because I wanted to root for Richardson with Atlanta. I thought that'd be fun. Didn't happen. I talked myself into rooting for Ridder, and I will, right? But I think Atlanta's got a good team, and we'll talk about it when we get to divisional breakdowns. And I would really like whoever ends up playing for them to be good, because I would like Atlanta to be good. But that's why I have a 27.
All right. I have Bryce Young clocking in here at 27.
This is really fun so far, is that it's all the same, just in different order.
Get the rookies out of the way. I do believe in Bryce Young. But the things I talked about pre-draft still worry me, especially after seeing him out there on the practice field and like seeing Brian Burns next to him. And I'm like, oh my God, who let... And now obviously he's bigger than us, right? But it's like, who let that middle schooler out there? Oh my God. So
we also have to forget that Brian Burns is one of the biggest players in the NFL. He's 6'5", 260 pounds. Yeah, but pounds.
A lot of these defenders are going to be going for
he's this. He's fast. He'll be fine. He's so, going to be like slippery as hell.
I want to root for him because I do like Carolina, and I like rooting for the Alabama quarterbacks. I like that they're trying to disprove the whole quarterback U thing and everything. But yeah, I think 27, I think where we have these rookies are pretty appropriate.
Yeah. This is the final quarterback, number 26, that I have in the tier of juries out. Number 26, I have Jordan Love.
We match again.
Yeah, look at us, dude. This is so fun.
Although we were like, we're going to debate.
This means that we have. This means that you do have one in this category that I don't, though. So yes. We'll get to that in a second. Jordan Love obviously only played in, I think, one game last year. He had 195 yards, a touchdown, and no picks, right? I think that we saw a couple of, again, not a lot of tape to watch, but when I went back and saw it, I think we saw some tape in the time that he played last year, again, in very, very limited snaps, that to me showed improvement in both play recognition and decision making different from the year prior, the time that he played, in my estimation.
I agree. I think that's very accurate because, like you said, it's a very limited sample size. He technically played in two games. He technically came in to mop up duty week one against Minnesota, but really the chunk of time we saw him play against Philadelphia. And they were a pretty ferocious defense, and I think he fared pretty well.
Now, the likelihood of going from Hall of Fame quarterback Brett Favre to Hall of Fame quarterback Aaron Rodgers to Hall of Fame quarterback Jordan Love is not very high.
But it's New not, York can look forward to it.
And it's that's right. And it's not that's so funny, man. Yes, in 15 years, starting quarterback for the New York Jets, Jordan Love. But Love has all the tools. And let's not forget, like, it's easy to forget because it's what this is his fourth season now we're heading into.
Yep.
He was a first round pick for a reason. People were going really crazy for Jordan Love out of Utah State, I think he played for. People were very, very high on him coming into the draft, talking about how he had Mahomesian talent, right, with his arm strength and his athletic ability. He has that ability in him. I'm not saying he's going to be that.
Sure.
But he has that ability, and the roster is still very, very good for Green Bay.
We haven't seen a lot of design plays for Jordan Love because obviously they weren't made for him. Of that running ability that he did have in college, I don't think that went away. Again, I don't think he's not bringing Lamar Jackson or Cam Newton, but he can move. That's not what was utilized in his one start against Kansas City and in those couple cleanup times. I think LaFleur had the offseason being, this is going to be the guy. I think we'll see some design runs where they try to put that on display.
Yeah, and I think what is being lost in the shuffle, because again, it's his fourth season. It's been a while. LaFleur came in, his first draft, took Jordan Love, took A.J. Dillon, took Josiah DeGuara. He took all these guys to fit an offense he wanted to run that he hasn't yet got to fully do because Aaron Rodgers was like, I don't like motion and I don't want to do this and I want to be under center most of the time, right? Like, and that's fine. Matt LaFleur was able to coach that Aaron Rodgers who didn't want to do what LaFleur does best to two MVPs and two NFC title appearances, right?
Just one.
Okay, well, a couple divisional run appearances as well. It's fine. But legitimately, I am just excited that LaFleur is getting...
Oh, you say division titles? Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. For some reason, I thought you said title games.
He went to one, right? He went to the Tampa Bay one, yes. Right? Yeah. But yes, my point being, it's exciting that LaFleur is going to get finally his guys that he's handpicked, and he's going to be able to run the exact offense that he wants with Aaron Jones, with A.J. Dillon, with DeGuara. They drafted another tight end, right? They drafted two other tight ends. So he wants to run this two tight end, one back set where he can rotate Dillon and Jones in there. And you've got Dubs and you've got Christian Watson, who flashed that big playability last year. Right? You have players on this roster. And while the defense certainly underperformed last year, they still have a lot of the same pieces that led us to believe they were going to be a top defense, right?
Yeah.
So this could be a team that very much comes out. Like, they could win a division, right? I think outside of maybe Chicago, and I don't even want to run them off, every other team in that division could win the division.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So Jordan Love is in a good spot. But that's why I have at 26, and that is the end of my tier 8 juries out.
All right. I still have one more, so I'll go. And what I found very fun about this tier list of yours is because I think – I mean, it is apt, in my opinion, that I have him here because I think the jury is a little out because I have Kyler Murray here. So, obviously, he is a starter. He can be absolutely one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But right now, I don't know where Kyler Murray is. He's going to not start the year, right? He's still recovering from his torn ACL. So, but Arizona could absolutely move off of him right now, and I don't know what that means for his career. I mean, I think somebody will probably pick him up depending on what we see on tape, but I mean, like, Kyler Murray might not be the same player because of the twitchiness that we've seen from him. I mean, that has been part of what has made him such an electric player. So if a little bit of that dissolves, I don't know. And that's why I have juries out, because, like, I have so many question marks surrounding Kyler Murray right now. It's hard because when I think about him, I don't want to have him this low, but I just don't know right now, and so that's why I have him here.
I understand that argument. This is gonna, so far, this is a quarterback that we're going to disagree on the most so far, because I do have him obviously higher and not in this tier.
Sure.
So we can cover again Kyler Murray when we get back to him on my list. But honestly, I'm kind of proud of us. So again, you have one more than I do, but we have all the same quarterbacks and juries out here. So good job, except for Kyler Murray. So this is now tier 7. This is starter.
But still you're ranked 25.
This is my rank 25, and my rank 25 is Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay.
So Jimmy Garoppolo last year, 2,437 yards, 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. I was surprised at truly how good the touchdown-interception ratio was. I don't hate Jimmy G.
Can you one more time?
I don't hate Jimmy G. I just don't think he's anything special, and that's fine. And he could also have a good year in the McDaniel system that he was brought up in New England, right? And obviously performed pretty well in, because, you know, I think that Bill Belichick wanted to trade Tom Brady and go with Jimmy Garoppolo at one point, right? There's a lot of reports about that. So they obviously believed in him and he played well enough in that system. I just don't think Jimmy G could ever give you enough. And we talked about it ad nauseum with the 49ers where I said he's not good enough to truly take you all the way and win it. And that's why you drafted Trey Lance. That's why you look for other options in San Francisco. So he's good enough, I think, to be a starter. That's why I have him at the start of the starter tier at number 25.
Technically, you have him at the tail end of the starter.
Tail end of the starter tier, yes.
Yeah, so here comes my starter tier. At number 24, I have Mac Jones in New England. I think Mac Jones is a solid starter. I mean, like, I think you can go out there and be like, he's not going to lose us the game. But just based on this criteria that we were talking about, he's definitely not the most exciting quarterback. Now, there were situations in New England. New England was ugly last year. The whole co-coordinator thing, I don't think that ever works. And I can say that as Miami tried doing the co-offensive coordinator, and it was garbage. And I don't like that. Now, getting Bill O'Brien, who has had plenty of egg on his face throughout his time, I think he's a good offensive mind. So I'm excited for that to come in, for that to be instilled. I like the addition of Juju Smith-Schuster. So I feel like if Mac Jones, who did have some confidence in his rookie year, but that absolutely got rattled, and the whole thing, I know that you were one of the start Bailey Zappi, one of those fanatics. So, but I feel like that is why, to me, he's at the tail end of the starter category for me, because he could have been displaced already.
Yeah, I will say this just because I have him at 23. Right. Okay. Yeah. So I have him a couple spots higher.
Doing a great job,
which is fine.
Show.
Yeah. Just so that I could say my 24, because I think you might have some opinions on it. This is where I have Brock Purdy.
Okay.
I have him at 24, 1,374 yards, 13 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Obviously, was he 6-0 to end the year, right? And got hurt. I think you made a good point privately where you said, if I weren't such a Trey Lance believer, I'd Brock Purdy be one of my favorite players.
Oh, you would love him.
Right. So I think that I've started to, like, not get on him as much. I just need to see more, right? Sure. Like, and for me, I think he showed enough that he could clearly be a starter in this league. I just think that sometimes you catch lightning in a bottle and nobody knows what to do to stop it. Now, people have had plenty of time to see this, right? So there's a lot of questions that are going to be answered for Brock Purdy in this upcoming season. And I, in my opinion, cannot put him any higher than this without more sample size, in my opinion.
Okay.
So
okay.
So that's my 24. My 23 is Mac Jones.
Clocking in at 23 for me is Ryan Tannehill. I think similar to Mac Jones, obviously he's older, right? But he's a quarterback that you can roll out there and it will not absolutely more often than not fall on your face to lose the game, although he has done it. I think he's just a solid plug-and-play guy. I mean, if he recaptures what he was a couple years ago of like the 30 touchdowns and the only handful of picks, that could be great. He'd be higher on my list. And when we did this, you said we have to take everything into consideration, career-wise, what we think it's going to be. And I feel so maybe he is a little bit lower on my list because of that, although based on your reaction, I feel like he's coming up pretty soon for you.
No, actually, I have him much higher.
Oh, so. That makes me excited because so, I feel like you hate on the Titans. Except for
yeah, Derek I used Henry. To be the pseudo titles fan in a while, but it turns out I was just a Mariota fan.
So I just feel like he is in the starter category. Like I said, I'd like to see him recapture that confidence. But again, we're talking about a team that they didn't take Willis high last year, but they brought in a quarterback where they're like, Tannehill, like you're the guy right now, but we got like this new guy, like we don't believe in you like long-term.
Yeah, I think he's only 35 years old.
They drafted another one in the second round here this year. So the clock is definitely ticking on Tannehill and the Titans' belief in them being like, you know what, like you're our guy to get us there. And I think when they say that about your player, I don't know how I can say that I have much more faith in you.
Yeah, that's true. I have thoughts on Tannehill, and I'll save them for when we get higher up. But I nothing that you said is wrong. So the next quarterback, number 22 for me, is the end of my tier 7 starter.
Oh, I also, this is also the end. Oh, look at that. More in here we starter.
Go. So 22 is where I have Derek Carr.
Okay.
Derek Carr, 3,522 yards, 24 touchdowns, 14 picks. I think that Derek Carr is talented, right? I think that he has really good arm strength. I like his fire, right? I think that he is an extremely passionate player, and I like that. I just don't think he's great. And I think that we've only seen one season of Derek Carr where we were like, that is a great quarterback. And it was that one year early on where they went 12-4, and he unfortunately got injured and couldn't start in that playoff game, right? I do not think we've seen Derek Carr be great since that.
Well, we're not in the great category.
I know. And I'm just saying that I got heated on our podcast where we talked about him going to the Saints. I thought it was a terrible decision. We'll talk more about that when we do divisional breakdown. I just cannot have him any higher than this tier. So end of tier 7 starter for me is 22 Derek Carr.
All right. I have 22 Jimmy G here. Yeah, I mean, I think what you said is apt. I mean, I am a Jimmy supporter. Of all he does is win and do pretty well. He is clean with the football. I think going to a system that he's comfortable with, having the weapons of Devontae Adams, having Jacoby Meyer, they're going to be easy targets where you trust them. You trust them to do their job, right? I'm excited to see what happens with those weapons and his confidence being there and just being like, I'm the guy again. This team brought me in. There's not all the drama about the rookies and I don't have a place and I'm jogging on the sideline. He's like, I'm the guy again. We'll see if that translates.
And he has, you know, like I said, he has weapons. So we'll see what happens. Now we in.
Oh, man.
Now we move to tier 6, dark horse category. I have 3 quarterbacks in dark horse category.
Okay.
Quarterback number 21 for me, Daniel Dimes Jones.
Okay.
He threw for 3,205 yards, 15 touchdowns, 5 picks. But what really put the topper on the cake for Jones last year was 708 rushing yards and 7 touchdowns. Daniel Jones is an interesting case study because I think he started off really hot. Remember that his opening first start against Tampa Bay where he had like 5 total touchdowns. He was insane, right? He had the game-winning draw up the middle for the score. And then he fell off and was looking pretty bad. But last year, he looked really solid. Now there's some speculation that that was just Brian Daboll's a genius and he was able to manufacture a lot of yardage, which he was. But I will say this, last year on early down attempts from 12 personnel, for those of you listening, that's 1 back, 2 tight ends. He had plus 0.3 EPA per attempt. That's number 7 in the league. He had 9.3 yards per attempt. That's number 4 in the league. And he had an 85% completion percentage on about 50 attempts. That's 3rd in the league. From 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, he did not rank in the top 10 in any category of the same. So I think a lot of it is personnel, but I think that they saw that and said, we're going to continue to do what's best for Daniel Jones. Then they traded for Darren Waller, right? They were like, let's add another tight end so that we can run this 12 personnel that is so good with Saquon Waller and then whoever of the 12 slot receivers that they have on their roster right now, right? They're doing their best by Daniel Jones to make sure that he has what he needs to win. And I think that he could absolutely come out and build on this 15-5 touchdown interception ratio. I don't think that he'll run for 707 again. But
I think that will have to come down.
But he could run for 400 to 505, and that could be a consistent thing for Daniel Jones, right?
Sure.
I mean, let's look back to that Vikings playoff game where I was literally like, are they ever going to stop him, right? I think he had like 80 rushing yards in the first half because they couldn't stop him. So yeah, I have him leading at the tail end of Dark Horse here because I fully believe Daniel Jones can come out and take that extra leap, but it remains to be seen. There's a lot of questions.
I think that is A-okay. I'll talk about him here in a moment. For 21, I have somebody that I know you're pretty high on as well, so I'll be curious to see where you have him, but I have Pittsburgh's Kenny Pickett here at 21. I think he absolutely falls into Dark Horse because I do expect him to take a pretty big leap. Mm-hmm. I just don't know where that means. But, I mean, Dark Horse also means we don't know, right? It could absolutely fail. Kenny Pickett could be just nothing spectacular. So I feel like it really does kind of fall in this category really, really well. Like I said, I think we're both expecting a pretty large leap. We really like the weapons surrounding him. I like him having a full offseason as a starter to build a better repertoire with Deontay Johnson. They brought in Allen Robinson, who obviously fell on his face there in L.A. But before that, let's not forget that he was a really, really great wide receiver. And, you know, they have Najee, who really picked it up at the end of the year after he started really fully, I think, recovered from that foot injury. I'm really excited about the Pittsburgh offense. So.
And more importantly than all that, they addressed the offensive line.
They did.
In the draft and in free agency. I have Kenny Pickett at 20, so okay. I have him right there. So, like I said, the numbers aren't going to wow you. 2,404 yards, 7 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. But he did add 275 on the ground and 3 touchdowns, right? So we know that he has playmaking ability, right? Kenny Pickett's not a player that I liked coming in the draft. We talked about it in our draft coverage over a year ago. I was not super high on Kenny Pickett. I really liked what we saw from them. They finished 7-2 to end the season. Think about that, right? The best record in the AFC was the Pittsburgh Steelers over the last 9 weeks. 7-2, led by Kenny Pickett. So, yes, I believe in a big leap from Kenny Pickett this year. And the Steelers, again, another thing that we'll talk about. We're just teasing divisional breakdowns all across the board in this episode. Another thing we'll talk about for sure, but the Steelers could be dangerous next year if he takes a leap, and I do have him as a dark horse at number 20.
The other reason, real fast, just to tag on, that makes me really excited about him, that I think makes it dark horse potential, is because you talked about that 7-2 record, but there were a lot of times when they were in close games. I think about the Christmas Day game against Vegas where he needed to get it done.
Is that the game where he finished roll and he rolled out and hit Harris in the front corner of the end zone for the game winner?
I can't quite remember, but I remember there being a lot of like third downs where like you knew like you had to get it and like just hitting Freiermuth right where he needed to and whatnot. So like he's shown a little bit of clutchness. Now it's in a small sample size, so you can always talk about whether or not it's, if you want to say luck or whatever, or clutch, but I really like that I saw just that confidence. And I mean, they lost a game against the Bengals, but like we talked about it in our show, it wasn't like, oh no, like this is big bad brother. Like he was like, we're here, we're gonna compete. And so that is why I think aptly we can absolutely see that next step.
And let's not forget, they were a half game out of a playoff spot last year, right? So they could have been in there. So yes, we'll talk more about the Steelers as a team as a whole heading into the preseason and the season. But yes, I'm high on them. Did you say you're 20 yet?
No. Okay. So Kenny Pickett was my 21. Here is 20. This is where I have Brock Purdy clocking in. Because I think Dark Horse absolutely has to be where he is.
And okay, so so far, still our biggest discrepancy is Kyler Murray. No, that's not that far between that me
is,
and him. So
that is probably looking that way. Yes, although I mean Kyler could have been here, but like I said, I have just so many question marks that I just don't know. But Brock Purdy, I mean, like he came in and he did something that we just do not see. And I understand people talking about the 49ers being one of the most complete teams. And they are. It's hard to argue. They're well coached. They have weapons all over the place, both offensively and defensively. And they have a really strong offensive line. So I get it. There's a couple times that I didn't like about Purdy was him running around mostly backwards, where he would try to work backwards to have a play develop. And I was like, that's so dangerous.
The only quarterback I've ever seen that work for is Russell Wilson in his prime. Every other quarterback, it's been bad to do that.
But and the thing is that it wasn't even bad. It usually worked out. But it was just like, stop doing that. And I can't believe Shanahan didn't like just scream at him to stop doing it. He probably did. But Brock Purdy's like, you know what? F you. I'm Mr. Irrelevant. I'm going to do what I want. But I just – what I saw – is nothing but promising. So I can absolutely see him just becoming one of those, even if it's not spectacular.
No, but
I
he could
see
be,
him being he one could of be, those.
He could be Jimmy G plus, right? Yeah. He could be what they had with him. Yeah, so actually Kyler Murray so far won't be our biggest discrepancy. Ryan Tannehill will be.
Oh,
I just counted it, but we'll get to that. This is the end of my Dark Horse category. This is my number three Dark Horse. It's Justin Fields.
Yep.
2,242 passing, 17 touchdowns, 11 picks. But again, the big number, 1,143 rushing yards and 8 rushing touchdowns. Again, don't know if that's going to be the total that he does, but also won't be surprised if it is, right? We've seen Lamar have multiple 1,000-yard rushing seasons. He would have had another one last year had he not gotten injured, right? So we've seen quarterbacks be able to sustain that. I say quarterbacks, really quarterback. Yes, see, Collette agrees. But I legitimately am excited for Justin Fields this season. They add DJ Moore. Chase Claypool didn't really get a lot of time to sort of get developed like you were talking about earlier, develop that rapport with receivers, right? So he gets that time to work with Claypool. They drafted other weapons on the offense. They bring in who's the running back they brought in? They have Khalil Herbert, but they also brought in Deontay Foreman. So they have pieces. They just signed Cole Kmet to a large contract. I think he ended the year with like 7 receiving touchdowns on a streak. I'm excited for the potential of Justin Fields, who I do think he's at the top of my dark horse category because I think he has the biggest potential to leap the furthest up the list heading into next year.
Sure. So Fields is year 19. All right. I have Daniel Jones clocking in at 19. And I won't go on. I think we talked about him and the potential for the Giants. Adding Waller, I think, is huge. But, I mean, he took a huge step in year one with Daboll. We'll have to see if that continues. They obviously invested in him thinking that he would. So I won't go on about that. But then I'll leapfrog you here. This is my final quarterback in Dark Horse. And because I have Fields clocking in at 18, I mean, he is electric. He's exciting. The thing that makes me worried... And again, so Dark Horse to me is what I think could really take a leap, but it could also fall on their face. Yeah. Fields just makes me so nervous because there were times last year where he just got banged up. And you're like, oh, man, that's slowing him down. Like he is a competitor, so he's out there playing, but he's not playing the way he started the game or started the year. And, I mean, we had all these rumors about whether or not Chicago would, back before they traded, they're like, could they take the quarterback and trade Fields? And I was like, well, technically they could because they don't know – Fields' longevity could be in question. So I think right now he is at the very – I mean, there's if you divide it, right, 16 is the upper versus lower half. I think he's absolutely right there, really close to the upper half because I do want to see that passing game become more consistently strong. They do have the good weapons to do it. Year two with the coaching staff. I'm excited.
I am as well. So that ends our dark horse category. Now we move up to tier 5. This is inconsistently good. I have 3 quarterbacks in this category. I have...
this is a huge list for me.
Okay, that's okay. I'm going to do my 18 and 17 because you've already talked about a 17. 18, I have Jared Goff, 4,438, 29 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Jared Goff was far better at home than on the road last year, but when he was at home, he was very good, if not great at times. We've seen Jared Goff reach the highest highs in LA. We've seen him reach lows in LA, and last year he was very good for Detroit, and it's exciting heading into this year where they have even more weapons for Jared Goff. So we will certainly see if he can continue that trend, but I have him at the bottom of inconsistently good. 17 is where I have Kyler Murray. 2,368 yards, 14-7 TD to interception ratio. He still rushed for over 400 yards and 3 touchdowns, so he still has that ability. But like you said, we don't know what will happen with him coming off injury and what the future holds for Arizona. So we won't talk more about Kyler Murray, but that's my 18 and 17.
All right, 17. I have Derek Carr clocking here, the very bottom or top, if you will, of inconsistently good. I believe in Derek Carr, not being like, oh man, like this is like absolutely the guy, but he is somebody that you can roll out there and be like, more often than not, he's not going to lose the game for you. He's not going to just absolutely fall on his face. That does happen, inconsistently good, but there are times that he takes over. There are times that he went toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes, and you're never going to be like, oh, but that's hard to do. I mean, a lot of teams hang their hats on, oh, we were close, or we beat them. So I
Buffalo,
mean, when
Buffalo
you,
does that.
Well, I didn't want to poke the bear, but yeah, the whole it's okay. But Derek Carr, I mean, I get it. It ended ugly, and I'm not a huge supporter. I'm not a Raiders fan, but like I'm sad about the way that it ended in Vegas for him. Because I mean, he's an individual that pours his soul into this game. I really respect that. I'm excited for him to get to New Orleans and see what he does with the weapons that I really like in New Orleans. Jimmy Graham's coming back, everybody. Get ready for that. Derek Carr, number 17 for me.
Unbelievable. So that's number 17. So who's your 16?
Number 16, here we go. It's the absolute pivot point of the lower versus the upper echelon of quarterbacks, right? I have Matt Stafford checking in here. Matt Stafford has always been a quarterback that I think has run right around this spot for me, because I mean, like, he has shown that he can absolutely fling it, but it's never absolutely put everything together, in my opinion. We talked a couple years ago where we think they lucked into a Super Bowl a little bit, and he had absolutely everything around him to do it. He's coming off the injury, another injury. So he started last year worried about the elbow, right? And then he had another injury. They're starting to pile up for Stafford a little bit. So inconsistently good. Number 16, I think, is where I confidently have Matt Stafford.
I have Matt Stafford in the next tier, so we'll talk about him when we get there. I have Russell Wilson at 16. He had 16 touchdowns, 11 picks. I think 16 is the perfect spot for Russ, because if you get Russ of old, he should be in the top half of the league, if not possibly creeping into the top 10. If you have Russ from last year, he should be at the very bottom of the list. So I'm putting him right smack dab in the middle, right? If he is what he was last year, he's not going to be a starter for more than he probably. If he's what he was last year, Sean Payton's not going to let him play the full season. Sean Payton's going to replace him. He will not have patience for that, because they have a good roster. He believes that they should win, right? If Russell Wilson is anywhere close to what he was in Seattle in his heyday, this team can challenge almost any team in the AFC with what they have. So a lot riding on Russell Wilson this year, but I have to put him right in the middle because I just don't know what we're getting. But that's the end of my inconsistently good category. Okay. So if you want
to... I have ways to go.
How many more do you have?
I still have 1, 2, 3... I have 4.
Why don't we just give me like an overview of those four,
yeah,
and then
15,
we'll jump to next
15,
year.
I have Russ. Yeah. I have Russ clocking in at 15. I mean, if we have Russ as to what he was before, I would say I think he's top 8.
Oh, I would agree with that, right?
So,
but I just don't know.
But I mean, it was ugly. But what gets overshadowed in the ugly is the last, I'll even say month. It was really, in my opinion, 3 weeks. The last three games for Denver, Russ really played well, especially the last two when, I mean, hate to say it, but Hackett was gone. I think Sean Payton, and I get that everybody, this has been such a big story this offseason, and I think it's a little bit unwarranted about the Payton and these, like, do they even like Russ, and does he even, I think Payton is the perfect marriage for Russell Wilson right now, because I think Russell Wilson right now maybe one of the closer quarterbacks that we have to Drew Brees, right? A little bit undersized, has a great deep ball, and can be accurate. I think he's going to be like, oh, I know how to do this, and I know how to do it well. I'm really excited that they addressed one of the uglier parts of their team in the offensive line. They invested heavily in that in the offseason. I'm pretty high on Russ.
Yeah, and I want you to be able to continue and get through the other ones real quick, but just to point this out, in terms of putting up numbers, in the last four games, three of them, he was the quarterback three, quarterback five, and quarterback two in fantasy football. So he was putting up. So you're going to make a good point in the last month.
So yeah, that was my quarterback 15. I'll just go real quick. You want me to go to finish my tier?
Yeah, go ahead and finish
so
your tier.
So I have 14, 13, and 12 in this tier. I have Jared Goff clocking here at 14. I'm high on Jared Goff. And I'll say, I don't want to repeat what you said. I think having the home split versus the away split is telling. But forever in LA, it was they got rid of Goff and got Matthew Stafford because Goff couldn't get him there, right? He technically did get them there once. But I think it's even more telling that I get that Stafford was injured, but they weren't exactly winning a bunch of games during that time. And even when Stafford went down, LA completely imploded. It wasn't, oh man, McVay is just the genius that can do anything with anybody. Jared Goff, in my opinion, got a bad rep. And I think he's proving in Detroit that he can play. And Detroit is seriously, we were talking last year like, oh yeah, it's a stopgap quarterback. They need to use this high pick to get the quarterback. I think Detroit is seriously thinking about and very seriously considering investing in Jared Goff as being their guy.
Just two quick comments before you continue. The two biggest moments of Jared Goff that I have are the one, the NFC title game against the Saints where they got to the Super Bowl that year, where I came on the show and said, I saw stuff and throws from Jared Goff in this game I never thought he was capable of. But then the Super Bowl where he couldn't make the big throws at the end to win. So there's the yin and the yang in the dark and the light with Jared Goff, but I do like Jared Goff as well. Go ahead and continue.
Number 13, I have Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is coming off of what was, I mean, oh my God, I don't even know. Obviously, he didn't play for 10 games, and then he came in and looked really, really bad. So that's rough. But, and it was two and a half years ago, but he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So I think you, in my opinion, have to kind of expect that. I don't think all that just fell apart. I don't think he forgot how to play quarterback. But at times, it didn't look like he was just a quarterback shaking off rust. It did look ugly. So I feel like he still has the potential to be a top-tier quarterback. But at 13, I think is where I have him because inconsistently good. That's me taking a year to year because he was great 2 years ago, and then he was really bad. Who knows what we're going to get? I think it's really exciting.
I have Watson next at 15.
Okay.
So I don't want to add too. I don't want to spend too much time on Deshaun Watson. 7-5 touchdown interception ratio. I think he had a rushing touchdown or two. Only 1,100 yards. Yeah. There's a wait and see approach. That's why I have him in the. I have him in the. At the bottom of the star capability category.
I think that's really fair.
So go ahead. You can go ahead and finish. But that's
and then I have somebody that I think absolutely rocked out last year, but it was really the first year of doing so. I have Geno Smith clocking in at 12. So that is the top of inconsistently good, closest you can be to star capability, because if it strings together, I think he has star capability. But right now, I don't think you can totally bank on just the 1 year that he did it.
I like that. I like that a lot. So you ended up at 12?
Geno is 12.
Okay, so like I said, 15 started is the bottom of my star capability. 14 is where I have Ryan Tannehill. Now, I know that he was 13-6 touchdown interception ratio last year, 2,500 yards, obviously got injured. But I feel like we can't ignore they were 7-2 when Ryan Tannehill was leading this team, right? He wasn't lighting it up by any means, but they were 7-2. And you even pointed out they weren't. He's not that far off from the 32-6 touchdown interception, multiple rushing touchdowns. That year, Ryan Tannehill had the same fantasy points as Patrick Mahomes, right? Like he's not Patrick Mahomes, but Ryan Tannehill is very, very good. I think he certainly should be in star capability. That's my opinion. Obviously, you have much lower. I will have a lot to say about the Titans. It's funny that you were like, oh, it's nice that you're being nice about the Titans. They were 7-2 last year. I know they like completely. I think they lost out, right? Because weren't they 7-10 at the end of the season?
I can't remember.
Like they obviously were terrible to end the season, but a lot of injuries plagued them, including their quarterback in Ryan Tannehill. Now I know they obviously invested two straight years now in a quarterback. They're looking to move on. He's 35, right? I get that, but I think 14 is a good spot for Ryan Tannehill in star capability.
Interesting. Yeah. I would think even if you have him higher than I do, which you do, I would think inconsistently good at best.
I think that when I say inconsistently good, in that category for me are players that, while this is interesting that I'm going to say this because I think Russell Wilson's obviously been great. I think he's the one exception. For me, that's they have never been great. And so they're good, but they're not always very good, right? And so I don't know. I don't want to get too into the weeds about the tier names, but number 13, I have Geno Smith.
Okay.
I have him in Star Capability. Are we in Star Capability, right?
You are.
Yes. I have him here. I know I agree with you 1 year, but I believe in the 1 year. And I think that the reason is more about not getting a shot than it is about him just all of a sudden figuring it out.
Sure.
In my opinion. He had 30 touchdowns to 11 interceptions last year, 4,200 yards. They added Jaxon Smith-Njigba. They added to the offense. They added to the defense. This team is going to be a darling of a lot of teams to pick to go far next year. And I think Geno's a big part of it. But I have him at 13. I know you already had him, so we don't have to talk to you about it. You went to 12, right?
Correct.
So this is 12, and then I only have one other quarterback in Star Capability.
Oh, man.
So I'll go to 12, and then we'll let you catch up. But 12 is where I have Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
Kirk Cousins threw for 4,500 yards, 29 touchdowns, 14 interceptions last year. Kirk led them to so many late-game wins. It is hard for me to have him any lower. The only reason I don't have him higher, as much as I want to, because I love Kirk Cousins, especially after the Netflix thing, because he's such a dopey, goofy dad, and it's so silly, and I love that kind of person is a good quarterback in the NFL. I just think that he is a great quarterback who, at times, just doesn't have enough tools, right? He doesn't have that incredible arm strength. He doesn't have that undeniably awesome athleticism. He's just a very smart quarterback and a very accurate quarterback. He's sort of the last of a dying breed of quarterbacks in the NFL, but I think he's just almost as good as it gets in that type of quarterbacking, and so I have him at 12.
Okay. Yeah, so clearly our tiers are about to get way off.
Yes.
So do you want to just keep going back and forth now?
Yeah, I think we can go back and forth right now, just clarifying what tier we're in. But that's right, because I only have one more in Star Capability.
So I'm just starting Star Capability here, and we're at quarterback 11. And this is where I have Tua Tagovailoa.
Okay.
I have Tua at 11. I don't believe right now that Tua is a top 10 quarterback, but I think we saw so much potential year one in McDaniel's system that I think he absolutely can become a star. I think Tua showed a lot of great things in terms of confidence when he believed in himself. Pocket, I'm not going to be able to say that word.
Maneuverability.
Yes, I think he did that very well.
I was muted for that. I said maneuverability.
Oh, well, thank you.
Go ahead.
So I think he maneuvers very, very well and confidently and comfortably. And if, you know, all the things that he worked on in the offseason about the balance of falling and body control and not letting his neck whip, I think. I mean, because they still have some issues on the offensive line.
Some of that hot yoga.
Hot yoga? You want to start doing hot yoga?
I would love to do hot yoga, but I don't think that yoga studio here does hot yoga.
I think we could do it here.
Certainly in my living room during the summer.
Kind of toasty. But yeah, so I think 11 is a really good spot for Tua.
Tua should watch every snap of Tom Brady's career because I actually think that if he modeled his game after that, he'd be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Because you talked about his maneuverability. Watch Tua Tagovailoa, everybody. His maneuverability in the pocket is reminiscent of prime Tom Brady. How you just get that step up or that slide to the side. Tua is excellent at that. If he stays upright, he is a top 10 quarterback. So I'll spoil that a little bit. I have him in my top 10. We'll wait until we get to that. But my number 11 is Matthew Stafford. If you look up his numbers last year, they're almost identical to Baker Mayfield. 10 touchdowns, interceptions, just over 2,000 passing yards, right? So not great. But we can't forget that he was just was Cooper Kupp the MVP?
Yeah.
We can't forget, though, that he didn't just lead a team to the Super Bowl, okay? I feel like there's only one, maybe two quarterbacks in NFL history that weren't great and won a Super Bowl. Stafford's not on that list. Stafford's a great quarterback. I just can't put him in the top 10. I can't do it based off of last year and based off the injuries. As much as I like Stafford and as great as I think he is when he's on the field, He's not always on the field, and availability is still an ability. So I have him right outside that at 11, and he's at the top of my star capability list.
Okay.
So my top 10 is made up of star, elite minus, and elite.
Okay. Clocking in at 10 for me, I believe he is a top 10 quarterback, Kirk Cousins.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I you're not going to hear much argument from me. I love Kirk.
The fringe, he's number 10, but I think he's a top 10 quarterback because you're right. He doesn't do anything extremely flashy, but he gets it done and fairly consistently. I mean, we're talking about, I know they had a first-round exit, but we're talking about a team that they won 13-plus games. Like, that's not easy to do. That's impressive, and I get that they have some good weapons. I'm going to be fascinated by Minnesota this year because of
their offense could be even better with Addison instead of Thielen.
It could. They took away Dalvin Cook, so that will be a thing. But it's going to be really fascinating to see because they do have a veteran presence in Cousins. And, I mean, even Jefferson isn't – I mean, he's established, right, as arguably one of the – arguably top one, yeah, right, in terms of weapons. And they have TJ Hockenson, so they have some comfortable weapons, but that change and that flux, we'll see if he can step up and continue to be consistently good.
I think that big play ability in the backfield is going to be limited without Cook, right, because Cook was still great last year, and honestly, he should just go back and not go to the Jets, please. Dalvin, if you're listening, don't do it to me. Yes, we're at the point, folks, where I'm begging people to not come to my division anymore. I'm tired of it. But yes, that offense certainly could take another step. Because if you watch Quarterback on Netflix, there were times at the beginning of the season where their interactions between O'Connell and Kirk, where he's like, made the wrong decision, right? So there were limitations last year, even with as good as him and the team was. Starting my top 10. Is Aaron Rodgers. I cannot keep him out of the top 10. I'm sorry. When he's healthy and he's playing, I still feel like he's a top 10 quarterback. Number 10, but I still feel like he's top 10. Obviously, you do as well. 3,600 or 3,700 yards last year, 26-12 interception touchdown ratio. A lot of that, I think, was injury. He was injured. The offensive line was injured. Wide receivers were in and out and very young. So there was a lot of flux last year for them. They still were half game out of the playoffs. Obviously, a pretty crushing loss to Detroit last year to keep them out of the playoffs. But he's turning 40 or has turned 40. I don't know which one it is, but
he's 40.
The only other quarterback 40 or plus that's been good in the history of the sport is Tom Brady, right? So if Aaron Rodgers does this,
I lied. He's still 39.
So he turns 40.
He will turn 40 in December.
I think that they are going to be very good. I just don't know how great Rodgers will be at age 40, right? And that's a reasonable concern to have. But I still think when Aaron Rodgers is healthy and he has good pieces around him, and by golly, the New York Jets have really good pieces around him, he's a top 10 quarterback. So I have him at 10.
Okay.
Are you still only in star capability?
I am in star capability.
Cause I'm in that Rodgers started my star tier.
Yeah. I still have three quarterbacks in star capability.
This is hilarious. Cause I have three quarterbacks in star.
I only have two in star. Anyways. Okay. Doesn't matter. Keep going. So we are now in the top 10. Number 9, I have Dak Prescott. I think Dak Prescott is firmly established in a top 10 quarterback. But I have him as a fringe top 10 quarterback, number 9, because to me, it just still feels like Dak hasn't put it all together. And I get that Dallas Cowboy fans are screaming at me right now. That's okay. I'll take it. But I mean, he was one of those early quarterbacks a handful of years ago that got that big contract. And they're like, okay, now this is going to be firmly established as our leader. And I will say, when we did this, I don't remember, did we do this 4 years ago? I was more of the Zeke believer than the Prescott believer. I was much lower on Prescott, but I feel like he has established himself into the leader of the team, but sometimes that just doesn't get it done. But I still feel he very much deserves to be a top 10 quarterback.
I have thoughts on Dak. We'll get to him when I get to him. I have Tua Tagovailoa at 9. I think, again, when healthy, Tua Tagovailoa should easily be a top 10 quarterback.
That's really nice.
25-8 touchdown interception ratio. I just think that he was so good in this Mike McDaniel system, and this is not just a 1 year thing. We talked about heading into the season being excited about it. I talked about 2 years prior an Arizona game where he was just a playmaker. He made plays on third down, plays on fourth down, game winning drive in that game. And last year, every time he was on the field, he was great. And I just think that he's spent all offseason contemplating how to make sure he can stay on the field. And if he does, they have arguably the best wide receiver tandem in the NFL. They've got a bevy of backs that fit McDaniel's system. So we don't really need to care about who ends up being the starter, because we know they're going to be great in that system with that offensive line. And then their defense got better. Now, Jalen Ramsey did get hurt in training camp. We'll see what happens. It's a long way away from the season. But Tua Tagovailoa deserves to be in the top 10, in my opinion.
Okay.
He's that good. So I'll go to 8 now, right? We're on 8.
You're on 8.
So I'm still in star category. Trevor Lawrence, I have as a star. I think that after 4,100 yards, 25-8 touchdown interception ratio, 300 rushing yards, and 5 rushing touchdowns, I think that firmly places you as a star quarterback in the NFL. They also had that crazy comeback against the Chargers in the playoffs. I believe that he deserves to be in the top 10 after that. Obviously, you do as well. But I believe that firmly places you in the star category.
I don't think he's quite a star yet. I think star capability, but I have Lawrence clunking in at 8 as well. I am really, really excited about Trevor Lawrence. Obviously, the first year with Urban Meyer was some pretty gross egg on everybody's face. I think it took some time to wash that egg of that hair.
Yes.
But once it was out, I think that team took off.
That's going to be such a funny trivia question in 15 years. Like, which coach coached Trevor Lawrence as his rookie of the year? And everybody's going to be like, Doug Peterson. And be like, nope, that was the dark days.
I think Trevor Lawrence, obviously have him at 8, is absolutely a top 10 quarterback right now.
How many more do you have before you get to star?
One more.
Oh, so why don't you go one more? Because I have one more in star.
Star capability, you're going to disagree with this, but I have it just at the fringe, and it's because I have Lamar Jackson clocking here at number 7.
I do disagree with this, because obviously I have him 2 tiers higher.
So the reason I say this, because we have seen him be an absolute monster, right? But the last 2 years, I'll say 2 years, have not been spectacular.
And I would argue that, and of course we did argue on the show about this.
We already have. In that knowledge, if we're looking in the rearview mirror, Aaron Rodgers has 2 MVPs well before Lamar Jackson has his. So for you to have Rodgers at 10, he should be much higher than me looking 2, 3 years ago, 4 years ago at Lamar Jackson.
Sure, but I did say we're taking everything into account, which includes projection for next year.
Sure. So we absolutely can hope that Lamar Jackson, especially as they've surrounded him with better weapons, I think they have a good offensive coordinator. But I think Lamar Jackson is going to stop a little bit, not altogether. We're not going to see him not rush anymore, but we're going to see him start to not rush nearly as much, because I think this offense wants to utilize the air a little bit more.
They do, and their moves have shown it. I would just say, when we get to him, we'll get to him, but 2,200 yards, 17-7 touchdown interception ratio last year, and he still had 760 yards and 3 rushing touchdowns, and he didn't even play half the year, right?
Half the year is a little dramatic.
Like, I'm just saying, like, he got knocked out and he still was putting up excellent numbers. So again, there will be plenty of time for us to debate Lamar Jackson, but let's get to your.
So whether or not it's our tiers, I feel very confidently about Jackson being 7.
My number 7 ends my star category, and this is Justin Herbert. I have 4,739 passing yards for him, 25-10 touchdown interception ratio. I am not fully in the quarterback or wins are not a quarterback stat camp. I'm not fully in it, but I'm also not fully out of it either. So I just, obviously he looks great on tape. Obviously he makes the wow plays, but at some point, you've got to win something. I know the analytics guys are yelling at me right now. I know he's very good. I know he's great. He's a star in my opinion. He's at number 7, right? I just feel like if we're continuing, we need to question why he's the highest paid quarterback in the NFL right now and has not won a playoff game and only played in one, where he lost in an incredibly crushing fashion. We need to question that.
Sure.
So, again, number seven, guys. I have him very high on my list. I don't agree with people who have him higher because I don't understand how you could.
Well, get ready to disagree with me,
then. Do you have him at six?
I have Justin Herbert at six.
Okay. How could you? One higher? We have him in the same category, though.
He's my first star. Yes, he is my first star, and I feel like he very much deserves the star mantra because he's done nothing but rewrite record books time and time and time again. I think he has, whether or not they've lost, he's matched pretty much any quarterback that he's played against. And I'm really excited. I think more coming over from Dallas, and
it's a big boon for him
offense.
It should be.
So. I'm looking forward to it. I agree with what you're saying about eventually you have to produce W's, right? Or else, I mean, I can't talk about Dak Prescott getting the bag and not having a championship, right? Without that being a conversation. But I have been thoroughly impressed by Justin Herbert pretty much his entire career. I have him firmly at six.
My top six starting. I have three elite quarterbacks in the NFL and three elite minus quarterbacks.
Okay.
So Dak Prescott sits in elite minus for me at number six. 2,800 yards last year, 23 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. People's biggest concern about Dak is turnovers, but that was really only a last year thing. And like, that was only the time where I really was like, there's a concern here, but I feel like we're forgetting that he started the season with an injury where we came on the podcast in week two and said, is Dallas' season over? Because he's out and sure. He was gone, 4 weeks and came back, right? So I feel like we need to give Dak a little bit of grace. I'm a little bit concerned about offensive coordinator because I think him and Moore were a really good combination. A little concerned about that. I think that McCarthy talking about we're going to run the ball and stop the run is a little worrisome, especially when you have – I'm not even talking about like philosophy here. I'm talking about personnel. Their personnel should be let's get a high score with this great quarterback that we have, elite minus in my opinion, and these receiving group that we have that I think is very good with CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks, they just traded for, Michael Gallup now a full year off the ACL injury. Like – we should run up the score and let our incredible pass rush finish off the game, right? That's what they should be doing, not run the ball and stop the run. So I hope that McCarthy sees that that's idiotic and doesn't do that. But I think Dak Prescott is elite minus because I've seen him be elite. I've seen him make throws where, and I've said this on the show, I've seen him make throws where I'm like, yeah, not many guys do make that throw. But I've also, again, seen him make mistakes, which every quarterback does. Let's not be silly. But I'm just saying that I believe he deserves to be in the elite minus category because I think that he has all the tools to be elite. There's just some chinks in the armor for me.
Okay. I mean, I have three from elite to elite minus. Like, I think that is such an exclusive club. So, like, I hear what you're saying, but
I agree that it's an exclusive club. I just think that these three deserve to be in it.
So have you said your five? No.
Should I say my five? So this is my second elite minus. It's Jalen Hurts. Oh no, this is where I have Lamar Jackson. So I won't say a lot about him. I just did. We're going to continue this debate well across the offseason and into the season, I'm sure. So we won't belabor it much more. This is where I have five. I think he should be a top five quarterback.
All right. I have Jalen Hurts here at number five. Yeah. He is my top star, my second of two stars. I mean, I have been so impressed by Jalen Hurts. He wasn't somebody that I thought coming out was going to be great. I mean, I knew he had a storied career at Alabama and obviously the Tua situation, but then he went to Oklahoma and did very well. But I wasn't the highest on him. I mean, he was a second-round pick. He got his opportunity. He went to the playoffs his first year as a starter, lost against Tampa. And then, you know, never looked back. And I get that they've surrounded him and they've done all the things, Philadelphia, they've gotten him the weapons, and that's great. And you can't take away from a quarterback just because they have the weapons, right? And I think I've seen him really mature as a leader. That it makes me really excited. I think it's telling maybe more so against Nick Sirianni when Jalen Hurts is over on the sideline being like, don't do that. Don't be an idiot. Just stop. And I respect the heck
I know Geno won most improved last year, and that's fine. But I really feel like Jalen Hurts should have, because he was incredibly, like, so much better after a season with Nick Sirianni. But 3,700 yards, 22-6, TD to interception ratio, 760 rushing yards, 13 rushing touchdowns. Developed one of the most unstoppable plays in the NFL. Stunned they didn't outlaw it. So it's going to happen a lot more again next year. I have Jalen Hurts at 4, so I won't spend too much more time. How much more do you have in your until we get to Elite Minus for you?
I'm in Elite Minus now. Okay,
so have you said 4? No. So go ahead and say 4.
Elite Minus, I have, and clearly it is something we differ on, but Aaron Rodgers is 4
okay.
for me.
Yeah.
Because okay. I think everything was stacked against Green Bay, and it's funny because I had them as a Super Bowl, but everything was stacked as in he didn't have repertoire with his young wide receivers, and that's on him. That is absolutely on him.
I'm glad. I thought you were going to not say that. I'm glad you said that.
It is. But they fell on their face flat against Minnesota. After that, the next 3 weeks, they won. They were 3-1. Then he broke a finger on his throwing hand. That can't be discredited.
You're right.
Regardless, was never super spectacular last year. Dallas was probably the best performance as a whole. The thing is, before that, there were so many. So there's so many moving chips, right, about that. This year, for whatever reason, and it stinks as a Green Bay fan, but it is what it is, he's excited again. He has shown up to the camps. He's gone and played with the young players that he hasn't been established with yet. He's building that repertoire, and he just cares. And for whatever reason it is, I think that's great, because I don't want to see Aaron Rodgers fall on his face. And so, yeah, a guy coming off 2 back-to-back MVP seasons, it's looking okay, not great. Then he breaks a finger on his throwing hand. Now he's back with a team that he cares about, that he's putting his energy into, that he's investing himself into. He, for me, is number 4 and the bottom of my Elite Minus.
Okay, so I'm glad we have the same 3 in Elite. So, first of all, I hope you're wrong, because I don't want them to be good. But what we should do for our top 3, because we knew there wasn't going to be a big discrepancy, I'm assuming they're in different orders for us. So what I would like to do is just give me the order that you have for the remaining 3 quarterbacks. Explain to me why they're in that order, and then I will counter, and that's how we'll finish off our rankings.
Yeah, so technically you're wrong.
Why?
Because I'm still in Elite Minus.
Oh, I thought you said you have Elite coming up. Well, who's the one? Wait, how much?
I number 1 is Elite. Oh, I think number 1 should be reserved for Elite.
So you have Mahomes Elite. So yes. Give me where you have Allen and Burrow.
I have Josh Allen at 3, and the reason is this. I think Josh Allen absolutely has every single capability of being 2, but for me, it is the highs and the lows for Josh Allen. When Josh Allen gets scattered, it's ugly, where Burrow can play it real cool. I mean, they call him Joe Cool, right? So for me, that makes me place, I mean, I just spelled it out, right? So I have Josh Allen 3, Burrow 2, Mahomes at 1. And that's, I think Allen has every single thing to be number 2. And I think he's often proved that he is. But for me, my taste, my opinions, my rankings, I have him at 3 just because of that roller coaster.
I think it's fun that I'm saying our quarterbacks, because Rodgers isn't your quarterback still, but he still is, right? Are the discrepancies we have. I still have Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow, and I have all 3 of them in the Elite. I respect that you have only Mahomes Elite. I think that's kind of fun. I totally respect it. I still think it's wrong. I think these 3 are the Elite quarterbacks in the league, and I think they will be for some time. The reason why I have Allen 2nd and Burrow 3rd is I know that we can talk about inconsistencies all we want, right? He certainly has some times where that happens. I'm not an idiot, right? But he had 35 touchdowns and 14 interceptions last year. Burrow had 35 and 12, right? So I don't think we can pretend like it wasn't that much different in terms of turnovers. And Allen added 2 more rushing touchdowns and almost 500 more rushing yards. So I just think, yes, there is absolutely inconsistency. But I think it was overblown last year because it was so good the 2 years prior, right? It was obviously a drop-off. But that's what happens when you have a runner-up MVP season. No matter what happens, it's going to be a drop-off, right? Unless you win it again like Rodgers, right? I like that you have Mahomes a step above everybody. I still believe and this can be what we end on unless you want to counter. I still believe that when Allen, when every single quarterback in the NFL is playing their best game, I still think Allen is the best quarterback. If they're all playing their best game, the problem is that Allen doesn't always do it, which is kind of what you said. But I still would even take Allen over Mahomes if he's playing 100%, but he doesn't always do that. So it's hard to put him there.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I hear what you're saying. I will still just push all the chips in for Mahomes.
And nobody will argue that. So awesome. Yeah, so I don't think there's much left to do, but that was fun.
Yeah, we did not. Yeah. There were a lot that were like, that's one off.
Yeah.
When our biggest discrepancy is Ryan Tannehill.
That is our biggest discrepancy. The only other discrepancies are tier naming, and that's, you know, funny. So
really, I mean, like, it came down to the two we most disagreed about were Kyler, and that's just, I'm mostly talking injury right now, and Ryan Tannehill. So.
And then we swapped.
Sorry we didn't.
And we have the same top 10, except I have Tua and you have Kirk. That's it.
Call each other idiots.
Awesome. Well, thanks for listening, guys. We're going to be doing divisional breakdowns heading into the season. It'll be very exciting, so make sure you follow us on Twitter at SimultCatch, Simultaneous Catch on Instagram. Let us know what you think about your rankings. I'm going to post a picture of both of our full rankings after we have posted, you know, the episode for a little bit to not spoil anything. But excuse me, thanks for listening, and God bless.